Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers, and today I'm going to add friends to that sentence because today I have on the show great gentleman, and I am using that term semi-loosely, Bruce Peters. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
Bruce,
I think.
We'll see. Why don't you save that till the end, right? So Bruce is from, his company is called Beyond Teal. And if you're wondering what that means, stay tuned. We're going to get into that. I'm going to give Bruce a quick intro, and then we're going to dig into his really very unique and varied and I'll say non-traditional journey. So Bruce, I'm going to start off by saying he's a friend. I met Bruce, I want to say about 15 years ago. We would have, and we still do have semi-regular breakfasts. He's been a mentor, a friend of mine, helped me through many aspects of my life and my business. Anybody that knows the entrepreneurial world knows that it's a roller coaster. And guys like Bruce is wonderful people to talk to about the whole journey, the highs and the lows. Always great to just kind of vet what you're going through and get Bruce's feedback. I think one of his specialties is there's no bush to go around. I mean, he hits you right between the eyes with what you need to hear. I like to think it's usually tactful, and it probably is most of the time, but sometimes it's not. But that's what a good coach does, right? So, so without further ado, Bruce Peters. Bruce, welcome to the show. And what I want to I said you're from Beyond Teal, but let's go there in a little while. Let's start out with Bruce. The beginning of the journey even before you became an entrepreneur or business owner, we'll say, I know you were in, you, I believe you started out as a lawyer. Was that your first career, or was there one before that?
Dave, this is a career of about 100 plus years, so you have to have to really kind of, you can end at the beginning and start at the beginning. I want to address something you just mentioned, which is kind of interesting. So you've moved over into the field of coaching and mentoring yourself,
right?
And
the student has become the teacher.
Yes, and there's a very fine line. It's a very fine line between being a coach and mentor and being a consultant and being a doer and that sort of thing. And one of the things that I've been blessed with, and I only really learned this about myself late in life, is you mentioned questions, right? And so one of the real things I learned when I first got into this work almost 18 years ago now, which was probably always true, but I didn't really see it as being true, and I've certainly learned more later on, is to have the gift of being able to ask that direct question. You can only do that when you're in relationship with people and if they know that the question's coming from the right place. And the higher the level of confidence, trust, well, I'm not sure what the right word is, but it's about the relationship, then the more direct that you can be about the question that you ask. And in some respects, the question you ask is a question that, you have to have permission to ask, and sometimes that permission is direct, sometimes it's tacit, and it has to come from the right place. But it also has to come in a way that touches people at the ground level. And what you're talking about is we can ask questions that are very superficial and very informational, but to be able to get to the heart and to the guts of it, if you will, and the heart of it, which is probably a better word, is a real little bit of a real tack. But I found that that's kind of what the work has all become all about for me. And I count it as a privilege, a real privilege, to be able to have permission to ask those kind of hard and tough questions. And then it also means you've got to be able to be that to ask yourself those tough, hard questions. Because if you can't do it for yourself, you can't do it for others.
So, yeah, because anyway. If you ask that question, people are going to say, well, does he do it? Or is he living, is he walking that walk?
Yeah, right? Exactly. And yeah. I think that's kind of the ground that I stand on or try to stand on every day. And so, which kind of gives you permission into that relationship. How did it all start? Well, it's kind of an interesting thing. You and I've had conversations about this. I've been a big skeptic of the whole concept of entrepreneurism, and not necessarily the concept, but the word, because it's like everybody should run around being an entrepreneur. Well, I didn't make up my mind to be an entrepreneur, and I didn't have any training to be an entrepreneur. But when I was 8 years old, I had a snow cone stand outside the movie theater in my local hometown, and I was making $25 a week selling snow cones during the summer. Now, nobody taught me how to do that. I didn't learn that from anybody. I didn't go to school for that. I just was in the DNA. And if I ask you the question, when did you know you were an entrepreneur? When was your first time you were running a business?
I was six.
Yeah, so you were 2 years ahead of me.
Shovel driveways.
Yeah.
I would shovel the driveway first and then go to the door because I knew I was a cute little six-year-old. How could they say no, right? Yeah. That could be any money.
Yeah, and they pinch your cheeks and say, here's 25 cents or a dollar. You know, my day was 10 cents for a snow cone.
So
I don't know. You know, where did that come from? How did it come from? I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea. And although, and by the way, I was a lousy student too. But I was really great at running little small businesses. So at the age of 12, I ran a lawn cutting landscaping service, pulling weeds, doing that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I had hay fever. I had a runny nose. I had allergies. I was doing all those things. But I was cutting lawns and doing things. And I had a team of five or six other kids that were working for me. And I was the supervisor. I mean, holy mackerel. Where does that come from? Then I, at the age of 14, I was parking cars at Sinelli's. And I come from South Jersey. And at Sinelli's, that was a party house. And it was an upscale party house. And I had a bunch of 14 and 15-year-old kids. We were parking the cars there. And the ladies were coming in and pinching our cheeks and being nice to us and coming in their fur coats. And there's big entertainment. It was near a place which in South Jersey back in Cherry Hill was called the Latin Casino, which was burned down three or four times. Hmm. But anyway, so that's where it all started. What I love to do though, Dave, in the time that we've granted, I'd like to kind of go back and I'd like to start at the end. And so you mentioned Beyond Teal. And a lot of what I'm sensing and experiencing, so the whole concept of teal and the color coding of teal comes from the field of psychology. And if everybody understands that that children go through different stages of psychological, emotional development. So you don't talk to a two-year, the psychologist would say, how do you make sense and meaning out of the world that you're in? And so you don't talk to a two-year-old the same way you talk to a four-year-old, same way you talk to an eight-year-old, and your kids are getting into close to teen years.
Yep. Hey, Bruce, I hate to cut you off.
We're going to leave it for what is teal all about?
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to dive right back into the
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Please call 1-800-414-1305 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1305. 1-800-414-1305. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1305.
Grandma, can you come out and play?
Sure, Ellie. Oh, my. You might want to come here and help Grandma.
What's the matter, Grandma? Can't you stand?
Oh, sorry, honey. It's my knees. They don't work the way they used to.
Does this ever happen to you? Are you on Medicare? You may qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Call the Health Hotline to see if you qualify. Our friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have braces for your shoulder, ankle, or back pain. And if you're covered by Medicare, you may qualify for free delivery.
Grandma, slow down. I can't keep up.
Maybe you can use a knee brace too, Ellie. Catch me if you can, kiddo.
Call now to get your pain-relieving knee brace. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
A radio station that educates and inspires. 1310 WOKR.
With my friend and I'll say business guru. I don't know if you can like being called a guru, but I will call you a guru, Bruce Peters from Beyond Teal. And we're talking about what the heck is Beyond Teal. Bruce, you started talking about what is Beyond Teal. Give us the what is the overview of that business and why teal?
Yeah, so the concept of teal comes over from the field of psychology and the children and child psychology. Everybody knew for years and years and years, children go through five or six stages of development all the way from two and make sense of meaning out of the world that they live in a different way. Well, in the late 40s and early 50s, they realized and discovered that adults go through similar stages. And they color-coded those stages, and there were six stages, and they color-coded those stages. And the fifth level, or the fifth more advanced level, is color-labeled teal. And about 3 or 4 years ago, they began to take that color-coding over into the world of work and the world of business, and began to talk about businesses that were functioning and operating at that higher level of purpose. And so a lot of those organizations are familiar to people today. Zappos would be one of those that's kind of named. One that's not so terribly familiar here in the United States would be Burt's. Are going to be happy to talk about some of those organizations. But the highest level, by the way, is turquoise. And so the concepts of a red or an orange or a green organization are organizations that are much more hierarchical in nature. And a teal-like organization is so much more organic in nature and so much less control and command and control than organizations. And the thought is that, and the research was all done in a book by a fellow by the name of Frederick Laloux, L-A-U-O-U-X, called Reinventing Organization. And he's a McKinsey guy, and he studied organizations all over the world who have these teal traits and are on the teal path, and produced the book Reinventing Organizations. And around the world, it's become almost a movement and a cult. So although it's kind of late in coming here in the United States, there are some examples here in the States. But around the world, it is the way of organizing and reorganizing. And part of the idea and the concept behind teal is that the speed and the pace of change is so fast. And so between technology and the speed and the pace of change, that our hierarchical systems can no longer keep up with that speed and pace of change. And so that organizations need to react and respond, agility, resilience, a lot of words that are out in the air, if you will, in the business air. But how do you create an organization that allows you to do that? And that's what teal is all about. So it's about creating this flexibility, agility. In software companies, it's called agile, and a lot of companies have been doing forms of it. Reinventing organizations is about identifying those teal traits and what are the common elements that those companies have to have. The three fundamental elements are things called higher level purpose, called evolutionary purpose. And so you see purpose-driven organizations that their methodology is not only designed to make money, and they have to make money because they are businesses, but on the other side of it is, can they make money and be driven by a higher level of purpose? And you see purpose-driven organizations. And David, even if you look back at yourself and you look at your own career and your own time, when you were driven in that purpose, and we're building an operating organization around that higher level of purpose, the money kind of took care of itself. And so getting clear about that is one. The second piece of the Teal organizations is a concept called wholeness. And in its elemental or simplest level, I might say to you, if I sat down and asked a whole bunch of people about what are the greatest strengths, you know, David Mamano, what are his greatest strengths in terms of his ability to lead and function and perform in a role? And people would have some ideas about what you are good at doing. And Teal and wholeness is about putting you in a position to play that role at a higher level. So the question would always be, what's the greatest strengths of David Mamano? And then how do we put David Mamano in a position to play to those strengths and play the role in those strengths more often?
And avoid everything else.
And in a sense, what happens, we forget this a lot, what happens is the weaknesses kind of dissolve. If you focus on weaknesses, what you actually do with the weaknesses is you give the weaknesses greater strengths. Mm-hmm. So this would be like, I told the analogy the other day. I said, this would be like telling Babe Ruth to practice all day how to bunt. They're not paying, they were not paying Babe Ruth to sacrifice bunt.
Right, yeah.
Might be a good thing for the pitcher to learn, but right. Not necessarily for Babe. And we spend our time...
Let's pay him to swing for the fence.
Yeah, we spend our time all the time focusing on weaknesses, what we're not good at. Mm-hmm. I've got grandkids, and you've got kids, but I've got grandkids. I got some of my grandkids that are really great at sports. I got some others that suck at sports. Mm-hmm. And people run around, well, you got to get on the traveling soccer team. You got to do this. You got to do that. Well, I got one grandchild that plays five instruments.
Right.
And everybody say, well, you should focus on one instrument. He's playing five instruments.
Yeah, they wouldn't say, why is he playing five sports?
I got a granddaughter who plays five sports. She doesn't want to focus on one. Yeah. So somebody once coined the phrase multi-potentialite. So focus is a wonderful thing, but focus at the expense of wholeness and what you can bring to the table is not necessarily a good thing. So the idea of wholeness is, how do you bring the whole self? I just had a meeting yesterday with this group of clients, and the question we started the meeting with is, what's the purpose of, let's say, David being here in this meeting, and what's David's greatest strength, and what role can David play in this meeting that would make this meeting elevate to the meeting's highest purpose? So what's the purpose of why we're here together, and what's the greatest contribution that any one of us can make? Mm-hmm. To that meeting. So wholeness is all about trying to play to your strengths as often as you possibly can, but in congruity with the evolutionary purpose of the organization. So getting your purpose, your strengths in alignment with the purpose of the organization. The third element is what's called self-leadership. In the book, they call it self-management. You know me. I hate the word management. I was always taught that you manage process, but you lead people. And I never wanted to be managed, so I don't like the idea of managing somebody else. But I've recoined it for me personally, self-leadership, but in the book it's referred to as self-management. And so those are the concepts. So self-leadership, the organizations that do this at the highest level find ways to organize around the work and exactly the minimum size or group or team that needs to manage around the work. So the idea is to always be designing and organizing and reorganizing around the actual work and the actual value that you're trying to contribute, mm-hmm. and not get married to some hierarchical traditional way of doing it, and constantly challenging around what's the value we're trying to provide, and then what's the right design, what's the right mix, what's the right hierarchy, what's the way of doing business.
Is it similar to the Japanese Kaizen?
Well, it is and it isn't. There's a piece of it. I would liken it more, if there's a car accident down outside of your office here today, and 6 or 12 of us end up going down there, and we all arrive at the scene almost at the same time. Nobody sits around and asks who's the president of this group. We organize around the work. Somebody gets on the cell phone. Somebody does this. If there's a doctor there, the doctor gets. If there's a nurse there, people organize immediately around that work.
Yeah.
So self-leadership and Thiel-like organizations do that in real time.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's funny you say that. Little side note. I walked into Kohl's department store a couple months ago, right? Paid a bill for my wife's bill. Walk in, and there's a woman on the floor, and there's a crowd around her. And she's like convulsing and people are trying to take care of her. And I said, has anybody called 911? No. I called 911. They forgot.
So your role in that meeting was to be the pragmatist to get the what was needed.
Right.
And that was a leadership role. But ordinarily calling 911 would not be in your hierarchy of the president and CEO would not be call 911.
Just popped in my head. You know?
Exactly. So taking a look at what's the value, what's the real work we're trying to do, what are the strengths of the people on the team and the organization? The smaller, the more cohesive the team is, I don't need to hang out with you any more than I already have to know what your strengths are, because we're teammates, right? And so I might look to you immediately and say, hey, wait a minute, Bruce, you're not terribly good at promoting stuff, but boy, I'd like to have David on my team because David's really good at that.
Yeah.
So we need David on our team to do that. So now David's playing to his strengths and I'm not trying to fix something I'm lousy at.
Yep.
And that plays out organically all of the time.
How do people find out not only their own strengths but other people's strengths and then like learn how to work with them? I mean, are there I know there's the DISC profile. I mean, are there some strategies that you can learn on saying, okay, I love this woman on my team, but she's very different than I am. I don't want to frustrate her with my working style. Are there some strategies to say that I could learn on how to work better with people who maybe have different strengths than I do?
Yeah, there's lots of tools in the toolkit, and I think that's part of the benefit of hanging around for a long time. So I've seen a lot of those things. The best tool is the one I just described to you. I use this all the time. So go find 6 people who've worked with you. Maybe 2 people you've reported to, two peers, and 2 people have reported to you, and ask them to identify your 3 top strengths as a leader or professionally, and then an example of each. Mm-hmm. So tie the articulation of the strengths. So they say, David is great at this. Well, give me an example of that. And
I like that.
Tying those 5 or 6 and doing more rather than less, but you'll see that the dots will get connected for you. You'll begin to see that. Sometimes it's a big aha to people. They don't know how other people view their strengths, how other people view them. They just don't.
Yeah.
I have, this will come as a shock to you. Every once in a while, I'll get some feedback that Bruce is intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't view myself as intimidating, but it's really important to understand that.
Now, why are people thinking that?
Yeah. And
what are you
and
doing?
Maybe a gap in my inability to be aware of that and when that's happening. So now I'm alert to it, not that it's a weakness of mine, but it's a lack of perception of mine. And to accomplish what I want to accomplish.
It's a blind spot.
Yeah, what I want to accomplish. And so it's also a reminder that no matter how successful we are, we all get stuck somewhere. And so no matter how good you get at coaching, no matter how much you get good at your work, there are times when you get stuck. The psychologist would call the shadow side. It's hard to go in and start talking in a business case. Let's talk about your shadow side, David. But you do get stuck in places. And so it's kind of the same thing. And so where do you get stuck? And then the question is, how do you get unstuck from that? But if you're working on your strengths all the time, you're positioning yourself on this thing, some of the stuckness just kind of dissolves. So, but if you start paying attention to it all the time, what you're doing is paying attention to it all the time, and you kind of exhaust, your relatively limited supply of energy ends up being spent. Again, it would be like teaching Babe Ruth the bunt. And it's not a good use of his time.
A friend of mine, I'm sure you know, Vern Harnish, the founder of EO.
Yeah.
He's in agreement with you completely. You know, his one of his main philosophies about productivity is find things that you are good at, that are your strengths, because they're going to give you more energy, and you're not going to get tired. You just want to continue to do more of those things because you're just feeding into your energy by focusing on your strength, because you enjoy doing those things because you're good at them.
Yeah.
And it goes back, that it was a book that came out about maybe 10, 12 years ago, Discover Your Strengths, and it was like a series of books, Malcolm something.
Malcolm Buckingham.
Yeah, and I read that book, and I took the Strength Finders test, and that that's when I had the magazine. I had about 15 employees, and that's when I redid my employee reviews, and I took out weaknesses. I said, if I'm having these people do weaknesses in their role, it's my fault. And I said, we're just going to talk about their strengths, because that's all they should be doing. Yeah. And let's talk about how are you doing with your strengths, and how can I help support you to get even better at those? Right?
So there's a company that I do some coaching work for, their senior team. And so I have about 10 people in that company that I do coaching for. So they did a 360 on me.
Oh, wow.
And so they got all their feedback. Now, I don't like their 360, and their 360 is anonymous, and it's got all the wrong elements to it. But they did a 360 on me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been around for a long time, and and I've done this kind of work for a long time. And so I got the 360 back. There's 10 people there, and I got it back. And there were some unbelievable, powerful comments and really wonderful, gratifying stuff that I heard back from people. Mm-hmm. And then there were the opportunities to improve.
Yeah.
Where did my attention go?
The opportunities to improve.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And here I'm a guy that teaches just the opposite.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so it emotionally grabbed me.
Yeah.
And so I thought, wow. If that's doing that to me for all the time I've been around, what you and I are just talking about, we know this intuitively, but it's still an emotional grab. It's like opportunity to improve, and I've been doing this forever.
Hey, Bruce, on that note of improving, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to improve and get even better when we come back.
I'm here
with Bruce Peters from Beyond Teal. You're listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
I'm John Lesher, CNBC Radio. Stocks are back to big losses. The Dow is down 267 points, the Nasdaq 45, and the S&P 524. The Federal Reserve is now in the hands of new chairman Jerome Powell. At his swearing-in this morning, he did not address the turbulence in the financial markets, but he did pledge to support continued economic growth, a healthy job market, and price stability. After the Fed said it would freeze growth at Wells Fargo following a series of consumer scandals, the bank is down 8%. Qualcomm is down 2% after a report that Apple might drop the chip maker in favor of Intel as a supplier for modem chips in its next generation of iPhones. Earlier, Broadcom sweetened its bid to buy Qualcomm for more than $121 billion. The services sector boomed in January, registering the best performance since 2005 and delivering more evidence of American economic strength. John Lesher, CNBC Radio.
Only one event unites the world. The 2018 Winter Olympics.
And there it is! Shaun White, double gold. Boy, does he deliver.
See the world's best.
Lindsey Vonn is a gold medalist.
And see the world at its best.
To the finish, Mikayla Shiffrin wins gold for the U.S.
The 2018 Winter Olympics, coming February 8th, only on NBC.
Spearfishing has or will strike your business, wreaking havoc on your employees, brand, and your bottom line. Spearfishing can't be stopped by traditional email security solutions because messages appear to be legitimate from your boss, a trusted colleague, or a vendor asking you to wire money, confirm login credentials, or worse. Barracuda Sentinel is artificial intelligence for real-time spearfishing and cyber fraud defense. Reclaim your email in minutes with zero impact on network performance. Visit barracuda.com/AI.
Are you tired of paying high prices for TV channels you don't watch? Of course you are. You want to watch and pay for the channels you like. Now you can take back control of your TV with Dish's FlexPack. Get over 50 of America's favorite channels for just $39.99 per month, and then add the channel packs that you want. And your TV price won't go up for 2 years, guaranteed. Plus, when you call today, you'll get free standard installation in up to 6 rooms and a free HD DVR upgrade. Need more channels? Dish offers loaded channel lineups from $54.99 per month, featuring over 190 channels, and HBO is included for a full year. And for a limited time, GoDish will give you a $100 prepaid Visa card when you sign up and mention offer code GIFT100. Call now, 800-518-8624. 800-518-8624. 800-518-8624.
Packages, prices, and promotions subject to change. Gift card courtesy of GoDish.com. Call for details.
A talk radio alternative. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Amanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Romano, talking to a good friend and a great business mentor guru here in Rochester, New York and beyond, Bruce Peters from Beyond Teal. And we're talking about what Teal does, and we're talking... It's really, Bruce, if you don't mind, repeat the three tenets to Beyond Teal.
Yeah, so the concepts come from Frederick Laloux's book, Reinventing Organizations, and the fundamental concepts are wholeness, which is around individual showing up as an individual for your greatest strengths, and incongruity with an evolutionary purpose of the organization, which is the second tenet. And then the third one is around self-leadership, and it's self-organizing. It's about... really reducing hierarchies in the traditional way that businesses have been run in a command and control kind of way. And, you know, as we were finished, this whole concept of focusing what happens when the opportunities to improve and when you get a performance review and that sort of thing, how negative that all comes out, even for me at this stage of my life, just grabbed me emotionally. Immediately, I got defensive. I never articulated this. I said, Bruce, because you can't articulate that because it's not your role to get defensive about stuff.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But I went there, emotionally went there. Well, if it's doing that to me, what's it doing to everybody that goes through that process?
Yeah.
And how silly is that?
So what is the best way to do it? Like, you know, from a coaching perspective, you know, here is what you're doing really well. Maybe the question is, how can I help you? How can I be of service to you to continue that, strengthen that, empower that? I mean, is that a better way to approach it?
It is a way to approach it. I'm not sure that, I think I would come at it slightly differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I call this the kind of the ground game of Teal. So when I go into a company, my biggest issue is to get the senior leadership team out of the way, but then go into the organization at the ground level. I call it the ground game of Teal, where you identify where is the real value to the client or customer being produced in this organization. And so at some level, somebody's producing the value, whatever that happens to be, and identifying what that is. And then the question is to look at the strengths of the people and to look at the value of the work and ask the question is, what has to happen here for these people to be able to produce more value and play more to their strengths to produce that value? Some of that's organizational design, some of it's competency, so it's just different. But I never ask them the question of how I can help them. I ask them the question is, what do they need to play to their strengths more and produce the value that they're trying to produce?
So by reframing that question, you're most likely getting a better answer.
Well, I'm getting the answer because it's their responsibility. It's not my responsibility as a guide or a coach to make sure they have what they need. It's their responsibility to make sure they articulate and they know what they need. And my role would be to help them get what they need.
Yeah. So it's all about the questions, right? It's all about, you know, when we had breakfast last week, you know, you work with a company and in their industry, you would tell me that there's a certain accepted margin of error, right? And in the industry. And then you start asking the question, well, what does it look like when we as a company, I don't care what the industry average is, when we as a company have zero margin of error? And it you know, through that type of question, you got them thinking about what does that look like? What has to happen?
Yeah, what has to happen for you, for there to be no mistakes go out the door?
Yeah.
And so, and Toyota Engineering, the old days, they did that with Toyota on the line. Anybody on the line could stop the line if they saw a mistake anywhere. So there was a version of that in this particular company where anybody can call the question, if you will, when the mistake's being made. One of the areas they actually ended up, they manufacture a product. So one of the areas they actually ended up using GoPro cameras to identify the work as it was actually being done so that they could catch the mistake the moment that it happened. And so not only did they eliminate this mistake going out the door, they eliminated the mistake before it even got down the line any further, which also allowed them to do training around these issues. So just by, and I know nothing about that industry except to ask the question, what would have to happen here? What tool would you need in your toolkit? What other things would have to happen here? And give them transparency, visibility into the objectives. So the objectives for this particular company are on time, on budget, error-free. And then make sure that everybody understands those objectives and then put tools in their toolkit, train competencies, whatever they need to kind of get there. And then never be satisfied with the next answer.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't care who you are, we all get stuck somewhere. And so the part of the role of the coach or the guide is to kind of, okay, you're stuck there. So what has to happen to get unstuck?
Right. You're probably the most curious, I'll say sincere instigator that I know. Like you like to poke people, but because you're curious and you're sincere about their improvement, right? You have a very unique style about it. But you must have been, so, you know, we will go back here for a second. I mean, you were a judge, a lawyer. I mean, you must have had some fun. I mean, did you have some fun back in the day?
Well, I was still having fun. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. Right.
Right, yeah.
And so I think it's a, look, I practiced law for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, the tail end of my legal career, I designed a totally paperless process mortgage closing system back in the 90s, mid to late 90s. And it was unheard of in the business and still unheard of to this day. But the tools were all there. But this desire to constantly improve and provide value and you know, that was inbred from forever. And so it's just a constant, you know, it's the what else question. It's what else could we do? What else could we do? What else could we do? And then, but it's also being pretty clear about what your objective is. So when I designed the mortgage closing system, I identified, and by the way, I didn't have any training for this stuff. I had a techie guy, it was unbelievable, who worked for me. But I identified what's the actual work being done and how much time did it take to do the actual work. And it took 46 minutes to do the work. Back in those days, might be a lot less today.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the average delivery time of a typical law office or a typical title company? Well, it's 6 weeks to 3 months. So what could we do to shorten up that time frame? And what we realized is I applied a concept from an old book called The Goal, which is around the theory of constraints. So where are your bottlenecks? Or where are your constraints in the system? We realized that the constraints in the system were wait states. Wait states being, we were waiting for information from somebody else. So an easy example of this is you were another law office in the traditional approach to things, we would wait for the tax figures to come from your office. Well, where do those tax figures reside? Well, they all reside in the treasurer's office and the clerk's office. And so what we did is use technology to go past the lawyer and get them from directly from the source. Cha-ching. So that was time. Now, initially, all the lawyers got mad at us. You're doing my work for me. How am I going to charge it? And then they realized we're doing their work for them, and they could charge their clients and customers. Mm-hmm. So they ended up getting out of the way and allowing us to do it, so they didn't duplicate. Now, in the beginning, it was hard because they were all pissed at us. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm interested in getting this down to 45 minutes, and I'm not going to let you stand in my way. And by the way, you don't have to tell your clients we're doing all your work for you. We'd just be happy to do all your work for you. Why? Because we're interested in the value of the system and the delivery system. So, but it's that kind of attitude about just kind of getting better and okay, looking at it. What's the real work? What's the real value? How do we make sure that we can do more of that? And then for the processors in my office and the paralegals and people, they didn't have to touch a piece of paper. Well, guess how much more effective they were, mm-hmm. and guess how less bored they were. And then David Momano calls into my office, and you get into my office and your file pops up on my screen, and I know what the last touch was on your file.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. Very convenient.
Everybody wanted to do business with us. So we had a 40% market share. 4 out of every 10 closings that occurred in New York State in 1999 went through my office, residential mortgage closings. And I wasn't number one for anybody, but we were number 2, 3, or 4, or 5 for every bank in the state of New York. Why? Because you could push a button and the product was done. And so we didn't need to be number one, but we liked being number 2, 3, or 4 for everybody. So taking those concepts, what's the real work? What's the real value? How do I position my paralegals to be able to be a customer person for David Momano as opposed to running around chasing files in the back room?
Right. So you change the game.
Exactly.
You change the game.
Exactly. Now, all of that that I did is even more important today.
Yeah.
Because the game is changing. Uber.
Airbnb, right?
Uber doesn't own any taxi cab. I mean, they don't own any cabs.
Airbnb doesn't own any.
Well, if you want to go start a cab company, a traditional cab company, you got to go lease a bunch of cabs. You got to do da 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 da. They're just, boom, they provided a platform.
Yeah.
So we've got disruptions coming down, and it does not matter what the business or the market is. So the traditional way of thinking about things, my good friend Lee Thayer would always say, conventional thinking leads to conventional results. Mm-hmm. Our conventional thinking is just not necessarily going to get you to where you're going to go. And then Marshall Goldsmith says, what got you to here won't get you there. It's even more important today.
Yeah.
It's even more important today. And platforms are becoming more important than almost anything. And those... what's the platform in your business? What's the disruption in your business? If you're not looking at that, then you're at risk of getting disrupted right out of business. It's also important for people on a personal basis. The day that's come and gone when you can go to college and you're going to end up doing the same thing that you got hired to do out of college. Chances are you don't even get hired into the job that you went to college for. And the chances are nil that you will be doing that 15, 20 years from now. And if you're not re-upping your competencies and your skills, whether you're an employee now or then you're losing ground. And we have to organically, and that's what I love about Teal. Teal is constantly about growing and making sure you're growing and always growing in the direction of your vitality, mm-hmm. and the direction of your strengths. And the two happen to go in tandem. And and we forget it all the time. Mm-hmm. Look, how many times have you reinvented yourself in the last 5 years?
Oh, I'm the Madonna of business, there's no doubt.
Yeah. How many times, yep. Since you got out, what'd you go to school for?
Yeah, I went to school, originally for dentistry.
Yeah. How's that working out for you now, right?
Yeah, well, I, you know, as a kid, I had my cousin's dental tools and practice on my sister. That's all about all the dental work I did. Yeah, so no, but I graduated with communications, right? I was going to be a TV reporter, and then got into radio sales. So yeah,
now you're a journalist,
right? Now I'm producing content, right? So yeah. Absolutely. So
yeah,
Bruce, believe it or not, we are running out of time. That was like very quick. I feel like we should have part two.
I could talk forever.
That is true, and you know, put the two of us together, we could have like a week long nonstop show.
There
right?
you go.
So, but Bruce, thank you so much.
Welcome to the Teal Hour. We can do that next
That's
time.
That's right. The Teal. There we go. There's your podcast, the Teal Podcast. Bruce, if people want to learn more about Beyond Teal and or get in touch with you just to have coffee and learn more about what you're doing and get to meet you and see what an interesting guy you are, what's the best way to reach out and get in touch with you?
Well, go to the website, www.beyondteal.com.
Okay.
Or you can contact me the old way, the old way.
Yep.
585-381-3333
Bruce P@beyondteal.com. There you go. All right, Bruce Peters, thank you so much.
It's
congratulations
my pleasure.
On
thank you.
All your success, and I love that you're always reinventing too, and you know, you are just getting started with Bruce something .0. I don't know what number you are, but you're always keeping it fresh and exciting, right? So
right.
And taking
right.
it to the next level. So.
And loving it.
Yep, and loving yeah. it. So yeah. thanks, Bruce.
Okay.
So thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Avanti listeners, for listening to the show. We appreciate you taking the time. And I want to thank everybody for listening, not only to this show, but my other shows, podcasts, etc. To learn more about everything that we're doing, go to AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com and or DavidMamano.com. And want to make sure that you also know that I'm always looking for interesting guests. So if you know anybody that should be on the show, throw me an email, david@davidmamano.com. Make it a great day.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.